Welcome, BBS, to the Winfrey Monday Night Conference Call. The simulcast, we've got several people on the telephone line. And Wynn or Terry haven't showed up yet, so we're just chatting a little bit here and there about whatever's going on of interest.
Sounds
welcome
like
to the Monday Night Call. Please state your name and location.
John in Northern Ohio. Hi, everybody.
Hey, good to hear you.
Hi, this is Marilyn in Oxford, Michigan.
Hey, Marilyn, this is Ron. How you doing?
Hi, Ron. I'm good. How are you guys?
Just fine. Hanging in there.
Good.
Anybody listen to Coast to Coast last night? Eric Pearl, the reconnection guy, was on.
That's really good.
I never heard of him.
I thought somebody on the call once said that they had, I don't know if they did a workshop with them or something. It seemed they were familiar with them. I don't know if that person.
That was me.
Was you? Who's that?
Marilyn in Pennsylvania.
Oh, okay.
Hi, Marilyn.
Did you do a workshop? Did you do an actual workshop with him or?
Yeah, and I
used to do the early trainings for years.
Oh yeah.
Welcome to the Monday Night Call. We've got a couple, three callers just come in. Please state your name and location.
Jeanine, Salt Lake.
Hi.
Hi.
Welcome to the call.
Do you guys get any benefits from doing that? Or
okay, here's the deal. Look up Divine Matrix Connection. Divine Matrix. That is perjurized from that. And the lines aren't even like what actually came in. You know what I mean? From the source.
Which is perjurized? I mean, which was the original one? The Divine Matrix?
Correct.
Correct.
Now, for 15-some years, there's been all this problem. I'm not even going to get into it. So just, you know.
Welcome to the Monday Night Call. Please state your name and location.
Hi, this is Suzanne in Columbus.
Hello, Suzanne. Welcome to the call.
Hi, who's this?
This is Ron, Mountain Grove, Missouri.
Hi, Ron. You're doing our greeting.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Welcome to the Monday Night Call. Please state your name and location.
Good evening. This is Terry.
Hello.
Hi, Terry.
Welcome to the call, Terry.
Hi.
Terry, how are you doing?
Good. This is Bonnie in Corona.
Welcome, Bonnie.
Thank you.
Hi, Ron. This is Joni in St. Louis.
Hey, Joni. How you doing?
Pretty good, Ron. How are you?
Okay.
Good.
Hey, now there is a gal on the phone here that's wanting to talk about that nuclear waste dump right near St. Louis. Do you know anything about it?
Oh, yeah.
Welcome to the Monday Night Call. Please state your name and location.
It's Chris in Memphis. I'll be right in.
Welcome to the call, Wynn.
Hello, Chris.
Hello. How you guys doing?
All right, Chris.
Hey there.
I heard some ones that you can neutralize radioactivity with a thing called photodeactivation using X-rays. Bombard the radioactive source, supposed to deactivate it somehow.
Really?
Where'd you read that?
I think I probably heard it on Coast to Coast, where most of my stuff from. I mean, I'm not a scientist. I can't prove it one way or the other, but the guy who was talking about it sounded like he knew what he was talking about. So.
You know, there was a channeling that Cheryl Taylor did. She was the one that I took the class with on how to channel. This is Terry.
Yeah.
And she said that she had one whole hour of her sources coming through and telling how to deactivate radioactive waste.
Wow.
And it was essentially to reestablish the amount of electrons that the electrons had been ripped off to reestablish the amount of electrons available to it to stabilize it. And and I'm wondering about what you said, Don.
Yeah, photo deactivation. Because I guess, I'm not sure how x-rays work, but it sounds like that's what would be going on, kind of, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
And has anyone here ever listened to Richard Hoagland's show?
Yeah, I do. Oh, I have.
Did you catch the news today?
No.
No. But,
well, I sent you, Wynn an email because I thought it's worth mentioning, but I don't know if I sent it to the right address. But Richard Hoagland.
Is this AA?
AA?
Yeah.
Me? No, no. This is Don in Superior, Wisconsin.
Somebody sent me an email from AA that talked about Richard Hoagland, I believe.
Well, I sent you one, but I don't know why I would say AA.
From AA.
From AA? That's funny.
Probably your past life as an alcoholic.
Well, totally. which would be true. That's why it's funny. So you got the note. I thought it was very interesting because he's done an intention experiment, but it's not where he has everybody meditate or everybody do at the same time. He just says, whenever you think of it, send a good thought to Jimmy Carter. And he's done that ever since he announced that he had cancer. And today it was announced Jimmy Carter is cancer-free.
Wow.
Right. I saw that he... Now, I don't know if I would give Richard Hoagland credit for it, okay?
No, I have myself, to, but I'm just saying it's interesting.
Yeah, I myself...
Carter was in Memphis last month.
Even with my own stuff, I'm pretty careful about how I give myself credit. You know, it's like when my sister had her healing, I said, I'm not going to say it's them until her lupus disappeared. And then I said, uncle. But it could be. I mean, it could have helped.
Yeah.
You know, there are so many questions about Jimmy Carter that it boggles the mind. I looked it up, and they said he was using some kind of new cancer drug, okay? And, you know, when you get a guy like that in the news and something like that happens, it could be that they want to sell this new cancer drug and they're putting it out. It could
sure.
be that. It could also be... I mean, if you look up Jimmy Carter clone, I mean, there's people that have theories out there that they're cloning people right and left.
Yeah.
And that a lot of political leaders have been cloned, and we see their clones. So, it's like, I'm not saying this is true, but I know cloning, I am 99% sure that cloning is being done. And
he's the Kennedy.
You never have too many Jimmy Carters.
Right.
There was my personal thought is if anything has been put out there, whether it's in a book form or a movie form or some form, and it goes to the mass consciousness, it's more than likely a reality in some respect. There was a made-for-TV movie in the 70s with Bradford Dillman about that exact thing, about a doctor that had a secret island, and he was cloning all the world leaders for a price.
Yeah.
It was a very good made-for-TV movie, actually.
Well, you know, if you really want to look at the wildest thing on cloning, make sure you take your tough stomach pills on this, okay? I'm not going to talk about it, but I'll just give you the reference. And it is absolutely mind-blowing. Except I did ask our sources, and they seemed to confirm it was accurate. So look up donald-marshall.com, donald-marshall.com, and prepare yourself for
your mind blowing right out your ass.
And that's an actual dash, not the word dash, correct?
Yeah, actual dash, yeah.
Yeah, I've actually talked to him on Facebook.
Yeah. And
Donald-Marshall.com. Okay, I'll look that up.
I don't think he's, you know, when somebody comes up with something like he's coming up with, that he obviously believes what he's saying and he's in the experience of something. But is it possible he's programmed and there's another reason he's putting it out? You know, you have to ask those questions all the time with whistleblowers, because the negative tries to grab energy every which way they can. But I get there's a great deal of truth in what he says, but it is wild. And now I can stop talking about that with the tape recorder on. Okay.
You've been on BBS.
I forgot about that.
This conference is being recorded.
The great
on December 15th, this number will change to 641715-3655.
Oh, yeah, is that true, Wynn?
Yeah, that's true.
You're changing your number?
By Wynn, I got a job.
Are you going to email
that
to us? Because I couldn't. She said it too fast. I couldn't get it.
I didn't get it either.
Oh.
But I'll get it before. It's December 15th.
Yeah,
so next Monday will be on this number. And after next Monday, we're going to have a new number, okay? And I got a feeling Wednesday is going to change as well, okay? Because Wednesday uses the same number, okay? The 559726, I think it does. So they're not giving me any notice, but I will make sure it gets out, okay? And
will Sunday be the same?
Well, they haven't made an announcement on the number for Sunday. Okay. That's the conference call company we're using. And when you call this number, immediately there's a recording that says there's a new number coming up on December 15th, and they're giving the number. So when the call's over, you want to write the number down just to make sure you call this number at any time. And
you
got to
make
it
lines. Horrible.
Lines, yeah.
Hey, wait, putting the job in the lights a couple weeks ago, and I got a job.
Did you?
Chris.
Yeah. Chris.
Where's your job? Where's your job?
It's Williams-Sonoma warehouse, shipping and receiving.
Oh, wonderful. That's I think that's a nice company, too.
Oh, yeah.
I think so.
Yeah.
Cookware.
I've worked.
Yeah.
It's going to be like 12-hour shifts for 4 days, and you're off Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And,
all right.
So, yeah.
Just be sure when you have some money in your pocket, don't screw it up on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Yeah. I've already got some plans for, yeah.
I know the pattern, okay?
Yeah. Well, the pattern is pretty shifting for the better, pretty good. So
good.
Everything's good.
I know that.
Yeah.
I know that.
I've noticed a lot of like, positive energetic shifts in my life, too.
There's horrible static. Let's see if I got rid of static. I see Michael Adler on the line. I see Don Hinton on the line. I shouldn't pick people's last name. All right. Dharmananda.
Yeah.
Hi. I'm just saying hello. Marilyn.
Hello.
In Pennsylvania.
Marilyn's here.
Marilyn Houseman.
I'm here.
Marilyn Kowalski.
Marilyn Kowalski, can we hear your voice, Marilyn?
Yes, I'm here.
Nice to hear you.
Nice to hear you too, honey.
Marilyn's voice always makes me laugh. Okay.
Why?
Because you were a comedian in a past life, probably.
Yes, I was.
Right. So here we go.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves. Your conference recording has stopped.
Oh, wait a second.
This conference is being recorded.
All right, this is
on December 15th. This number will change to 641-715-3655.
Okay. That's a message from our conference call company, and this number is changing. And if you didn't get it, you can just call the number, and the number for this call, I guess for the next 8 days, and it will give you the new number, and we'll send out an email with the new number as well. So now, this is December 7th, Terry and Wynn in Sedona, everybody everywhere, and thank you all for being here. And, you know, I'm going to start this call, and I'm going to do a very quick thing that we did yesterday on our Sunday call that was really, got a lot of emails about it. People really liked it. And it was a way for all of you and us to bless ourselves quickly, okay? And what we did was we all tuned in to Google Maps. So if you're by your computer, just do this right now. Go to maps.google.com. Maps.google.com. Okay? And you're going to come up with a map. And it's most likely going to be, I think I'll mute everybody. Just wait a second. Hang on. Here it is. Okay, everyone is muted. Oh, okay. Let me unmute everybody.
All callers are unmuted.
Those of you who were on the line on Sunday, did you enjoy what we did with Google Maps?
Yeah, it was cool.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. So I might start some of the calls just quickly, helping us send energy to our own environment, okay? Hang on. So
all callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
If you're on Google Maps right now, you probably notice a map of your area, okay? And if you go into the lower corner, the lower right-hand corner, you'll see this plus-minus thing, which you can enlarge the map or reduce it. If you go in the lower left corner, you'll see a little square button that says satellite. So I want you to click on satellite. Okay. Now I want you to move. You're seeing a map of your area. First thing we're going to do, and we're just going to do this quickly, we bring in the light, we bring in the highest good, we bring in the Elohim. And when we did this on Sunday, the Elohim said, when we were looking at this kind of view, they were saying, this is how it looks to them. So we're all like sharing a group space. And you're focusing that group space energy into your city, okay? And I want you to just intend that energy, send it right into the map. It's kind of like a representation of the actual area, physical area. You can see it. You can see the streets. And send it into your neighborhood and send it to the streets you drive on every day. If you drive, send it to your gas station, to your supermarket. We're sending the light into your area, okay? And when you go out your front door and you go somewhere, remind yourself that you charged that particular location or that route with light and tune back into it. Now, enlarge the map, and by enlarge it, you go into that a right-hand plus minus. And by the way, you can move the map from right to left or up and down by clicking your left mouse button holding it down and then moving your cursor, and the bank, not the bank, the, I'm looking at the bank, okay? Get your bank in there too, for sure, okay? Send the right to your bank and look down and move your location, your house, to the middle of the map page, okay? And then go to the plus and minus button on the lower right, and keep enlarging it and move it around till you have your house right in the center. And if you're having trouble finding your house, go up into the upper left-hand corner where it says Search Google Maps and put your address in, okay? And it'll just type over where it says Search Google Maps and that'll disappear. Put your address in and then push the little magnifying glass and you will go immediately to your address, and you will be looking down at your roof, okay? From where you, from on the map, all right? And I'm doing that myself, and I've got our house right in the center, and now you can enlarge it. Keep enlarging it so that you can see very close in. I can see the two cars in our driveway. Okay, now, we're making a group energy. We have our sources in the group energy, so it's a huge group energy. And I want you to send this energy through the roof of your house and on the grounds of your house and just bless your space. Make it protected, put a protective shield around it, make it connected like a vortex. Just focus on that for a moment. Now, it's really interesting because when we did this yesterday, one of the locations I don't want to do this publicly, although we may do some small workshops where we work as a group, helping to focus our energy in protecting and uplifting our own property, and with Fred Brooks helping and Terry and the Elohim helping. We formulated doing like a little workshop with 10 people, no more than 10. So everyone gets individualized attention. And we are looking down on our property. And, you know, you can do this yourself during our Sunday call. You can... I did this with Terry Friedman's nursing home, and I called him later in the afternoon, and I have to say, he sounded better than I've ever heard him sound, ever. Now, he can't remember how he feels sometimes, but he was, it's just like, I don't know what else was different, except that I did this on his home. When we asked the Elohim about it, they said it was a great way to enhance the sending of energy to different locations, as well as your own. And so on our Sunday calls, we're going to adopt this for a while and say when we do the Ring of Fire, we're going to bring the Ring of Fire up on our screens. We're going to bring, you know, whatever area we're working on and project love light into that area, just like we always do, except we're going to look down on the rooftops of the area. And we can even go to specific monuments. And this really works. Terry was on the line. The very first time we did anything like this was in 2003, when Daphne and I were in New York City, and we went to the World Trade Center, and we tried to lift the vibration there. And we couldn't get into it. It was too dark. So we did a channeling, and I said, what if we had a little conference call group at the time. I said, what if we have our conference call on the line and do this? And they said, that's a good idea. So we did it, and we broke through. We broke through the energy, because it's our group energy that helps bring in the strength to make, to move the energy from being contained within our body into the greater world. Okay? So, thanks for all of this. Let me know how you liked it. Let me know how it works when you go get gas, if you can bring back the vibration of that, so that as you drive through your town, you're actually now always on call, always I'm holding the space for changing the vibrational space wherever your physical body is. Let's say that's the general idea. And so the first thing starts with a visualization. And I'm going to, I announced that I was going to go into some stuff on manifestation today. And, you know, Terry, should I mute you, Terry? You're making a lot of background noise.
Me?
Well, yeah, you.
I'll mute myself.
Okay. And I, you know, we have actually been doing this already on the calls, and I just put together, I was thinking about it. I was talking to Terry, actually. And, you know, just because we're doing this doesn't mean we're masters at it. It means we're learning all the time, how it works. And I wanted to go back to how the Elohim said they created the physical universe. And it started out with the idea of projecting frequencies, and a group of them were doing it together, so the frequencies would come together, and then there would be nodes, and some of you may know what harmonics are, overtones. When you put frequencies together, there's something that happens where you get additional frequencies added to the mix. And the way the additional frequencies come in is by the way the two frequencies beat against each other. So, for example, let's suppose you have 300 cycles per second and 400 cycles per second, and they come together. You also get the plus of those two frequencies and the minus. So if you have 300 and 400, you have 700 and 100 added to it. That's why in music, if you have a musical note, let's say the musical note C, two different instruments can play the same musical note, and yet it will sound different because of the overtones. So a violin playing a note will sound different than a piano playing a note, will sound different than a guitar playing a note. Now, we don't have to know all this, but just the concept is it takes a group of frequencies coming together to create a manifestation. All right? Now, that's the key thing. We as humans usually think of manifestation of like, you have to do everything. You have to manifest. You have to build the house. You have to get the nails from the hardware store. And you have to hold the vision of the house until it's built. And you're doing it all by yourself. And you can do it, okay? But I have this feeling that in some ways, the same way that the Elohim manifested, since we are a subset of all that is, and that the same laws of manifestation can work for us in our limited space if we can access it. So how do we access it? I'm going to present the idea, and many people have said this is true, that every time we think a thought, we send an energy into the invisible realms. Every single time. Right now at this moment, because we're all on this call, we are all sending energy into the realms that we can't see. And that, to some extent or another, the energy we're sending into the invisible realms, and we could call them other dimensions, we could call them the astral plane, the causal plane, all of those stair-step dimensions, we are sending energy into them, depending on us. Now, some of us do it to a greater extent, and some of us do it to a lesser extent. But as we send our thoughts into the invisible realms, we create the potential for the invisible realms to send energy back into this realm that causes shifts. And then that comes to us in what is commonly called synchronicity. Synchronicity is where you meet somebody in a random way that looks like coincidence, but wasn't. Okay? And I've had a lot of synchronicity in my life, and I've had a lot of opportunity to contemplate how the hell this works, because it's always such an amazing phenomena when it happens, okay? And I look at, you know, the ways that link things together, and I try to figure it out, okay? And I may not be right, but like, say, for example, some of you may have heard this story. Excuse me if you have, I'll say it again. That when I was working in music, and I was working at getting my songs recorded, I ended up starting a relationship with a very famous songwriter by the name of Brian Holland. And he was one of the original Motown songwriters, Holland Dozier Holland, who wrote all the songs for the Supremes and the Four Tops, and he wrote the melodies. And I already had a synchronicity that started the relationship, because prior to coming to Los Angeles, I had been playing at a discotheque in Greenwood Lake, New York, and the manager of the house band loved me, and his name was Mark Gilliton, and I think it's his birthday today. I think I got a notice on that. And when I went to L.A., I went to some songwriter showcase, and who was there but Mark Gilliton, who had come to L.A. to be successful in the music business. And he was so happy to find me. And he was working for some big publisher named Don Costa, who used to produce Frank Sinatra. And one of my songs got recorded through Mark. And then Mark changed jobs. Now he's working at Brian Holland's office. And I ended up going to the office. And I didn't make an appointment. I was just dropping in looking for Mark. And by the time I got to the office, Mark was no longer working there. And so I left this tape on a table. And then I went to a coffee shop, sitting at the counter, sitting next to this guy. And I'm looking like this hippie. My hair was long. I had a patchwork hippie guitar case. And I'm talking to this guy next to me. He looked like a regular guy. And he asked me about my guitar. And I start telling him all about how I was hitchhiking around the country. And I came to L.A. to get my songs recorded. Then he said, oh, I had a couple songs recorded. And I said, oh. I says, oh, I write some songs. And I said, oh, do you ever get any recorded? And he said, yes, you. My name's Brian Holland. Okay? So now, if you look at that, first I met the guy, Mark Gillotin, in New Jersey, New York. And then Mark now comes to Los Angeles. And he really liked me. And I liked him. On some level, we're tracking each other, but we don't know we're tracking each other. It's happening outside of our conscious awareness. And I show up at the same place he shows up. And then working for a publisher. Now, this could all look like coincidence, okay? But you'll see by the time we're finished, it could not have been coincidence. And then Mark changes jobs, and I go there, and Mark's not there. And I end up going to a coffee shop. And now I sit next to the very guy that I was going to leave it, that I left a tape in his office. And he said, oh, yeah, I'm going to have to listen to that. Now I get that on an unconscious level, I'm not consciously aware of any of this. I have to get into this loose frame of mind where I make a spontaneous decision. And something in me says, go into that coffee shop, sit here. And I can't explain how that works, but it worked. And then I didn't hear from Brian Holland for about 3 months. And I was in the other office on the other side of Hollywood, and I'm walking up this small street to go back to my car, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, I recognize synchronicities. I knew that was synchronicity. Something crossed my head and then said, go to Brian's office today. You'll probably bump into him when he's walking in or something like that. And so I'm walking to my car, and I'm on this little street north of Sunset Boulevard in Los Angeles in West Hollywood, and this white Mercedes driving down the street, and I looked up and it's Brian's brother Edward. I recognized them because I looked them up. I know what they looked like, and I don't know. I started pounding on his window because I said, "Oh my God! I made the decision to go to his office today, and there he is, and his brother." And I pounded on his window, and he actually opened his window, which when I looked back at it, I said, you know what? He should have just stepped on the gas and gotten away from me as quickly as possible. So it looked like a nutcase. But no, he opened his window, and he said, I said I'm supposed to meet Brian. I was just going to your office. And he said, no one's there. Come in tomorrow, okay? And I did. I went in the next day. I played my songs for both of them. They kept saying how much they loved my songs. They weren't sure of my melodies, but they said, come on, why don't you guys work together and see what you can come up with? And so I started coming into their office and hanging out with Brian. And, you know, we were just getting to know each other. And so now, it's a few months later. I mean, nothing substantial has happened. I don't have any songs recorded, but we have an ongoing rapport. And I used to take walks in Venice Beach, and I probably three or four times a week. It's kind of like the bohemian hippie area, and I identified with it. And there were all these vendors selling things. And one day it was very hot, and I went into a bar. It's called the Sunset Saloon. And quite frankly, I never go into bars. Very rarely. I very rarely even drink a single beer. I'm not against it. It's just that I get spaced out. I get I have a hard enough time focusing, and it doesn't help me focus. It spaces me out. But it was a hot day, and I sat at the bar, and I ordered a beer. And there was a woman next to me. Her name was Pat Hogan, and we started talking, and she was drinking. And I did not buy her a beer. She was into jazz. She was into music, and I told her I was a musician. And she was getting drunk, and she took me home with her, of all things, okay? And, you know, I think that's the only time in my entire life that I had ever met a woman at a bar and went home with her. And we started seeing each other. And she lived about five blocks from the beach. And a month after we were getting together, she was going to move into this big luxury apartment building on the beach in Marina Del Rey. And it actually had three buildings with 600 total tenants. And she was moving there because her girlfriend was living there, and her girlfriend was going to rent her a room that she could afford, okay? So I started seeing her at her new place. And one morning, probably a week after she moved, I was leaving and I was walking down the hallway, and I walked by the door to the apartment right next door to hers. There was an envelope on the door, and it was addressed to Brian Holland. And I just flipped out. Of all the places for her to move, she moved next door to Brian Holland. And he found out, of course. I told him, you know, I've got a girlfriend living next door to you. And he took it like God must have sent me. How could that be? And, I mean, he opened up all the stops to try to help me. I had the key to their office. I could use a stationery. It was not a business relationship. And he just loved me. And, you know, we saw him. I saw him a few years ago. Whenever I'm in L.A., I have lunch with him. Say things like, "Win free. I don't know why I love you, but I just love you." You say it like that. I know why he loves me. You know why he loves me? Because in a past lifetime, I was a chief honcho in Egypt, and he was my musical director. I figured that out, and then got confirmed in one of our sessions. So, I'm telling this story. I know it's a really fun story. I'm telling this story because within the context of the story, there's a lot of keys to manifestation. And one of the keys is your intuitions. Honing your intuitions so that you make your mind quiet and follow these, and I can't explain how to do this. I don't even know I'm doing it when I'm doing it. I mean, sometimes I'll tell Terry we're going to go out to dinner somewhere, And I say, you know, let's go there. And she says, yeah, I want to go there too. And then we meet somebody really interesting. We have some kind of really good encounter where we're going, where we probably wouldn't have had it if we went to the other place. It's like, you know, I learned that if I was looking for a job, I go stand in front of a door and say, can I feel any vibes? Let me try this door. Let me try that door. Ah, this is the door. And you start to make the right decisions. And it's extremely hard to explain how to do this logically. I know everyone would like to do it. I'd even like to do it better, okay? I'd like to make it do it better. But I've had so much of it, at least I have the general idea. It's kind of like if you go, I believe with Pat, who I met in the bar, I believe on the invisible levels, somehow I knew she was in that bar and that she was going to move. Her girlfriend lived next door to Brian Holland. And that by doing this, I was going to increase the frequency of the energy of connection between myself and Brian. And I mean, I don't know. No clue of that in my conscious mind. But yet I walked into a bar that I don't do. I sat next to a woman I don't do. She took me on with her, which never happens. And then she moves next to Brian Holland. Obviously, it couldn't happen by the logical rules of the world. It was beyond that. And the coincidences of it, you know, the statistical probability of it was impossible. So if we take that situation and let's go back to the manifestation of the universe, which is how we started, how the Elohim would compound frequencies, then if we look at ourselves and realize, and of course, we talk about this all the time, but every moment's true, you have an invisible part of yourself. And you could call that your soul. You could call it your energy field. You know, whatever you want to call it. You can't see it. And you can only learn that it's there indirectly. But that invisible part of yourself is really more you than your body. Because when your body dies, that invisible part of yourself doesn't die. And your awareness then moves directly in the middle of that. When you're in a body, your awareness is focused in the body. So now you have to start developing a relationship, a rapport with the part of you that's invisible, the part of you that you can't see or feel, and the ability to send intentions to it so that it will help you get what you want to happen. And when you want something to happen that's kind of big, then what happens is whatever you're wanting to happen, you have to start creating in the invisible worlds. And every time you stop thinking about it, it stops creating itself. It hasn't manifested yet. It's not grounded. It's not in the physical. The only thing that's happening is in the invisible worlds. And so now you have so much energy to put into it in the invisible worlds, and then you have to do something in the physical world because it's not manifested until it's physical, and you keep going back and forth, and in the meantime, you're putting energy into earning a living, maintaining your children, maintaining your relationships, whatever else you've assumed responsibility for. But you're starting off in the invisible world, starting some momentum. And then I would say, on some level, when you start creating intentions that can reach into the invisible world, you are sending frequencies out on some level, very similarly to how the Elohim would send frequencies out, and then they had a bunch of them together, doing it together. And it's like a key here is the doing it together. Because when a number of people hold the space for something to happen, for sending frequencies or sending intentions into the invisible world, then if one person drops the energy, they have to do something else. There's someone else that's still holding it. Because the goal is to get it to the point where it starts to spin and have its own momentum, in which case it doesn't take that much work to keep it up. You see, you look at the universe, we all have our free will, and we are all spinning on our own momentum. And the Elohim can help and guide and put energy into it. But they've given everybody free will, so now the universe, everything is creating itself based on the free will choices of everybody. We are a really unusual group because we've had all this inside information about how, you know, how it works. And so when you and other people start the spinning to make something happen, and the spinnings all come together to create momentum, and that when you're doing things for planetary service in particular, then the Elohim and the Ra group can enter that spinning with you, increase the momentum tremendously, so you can have a whole bunch of people, a whole bunch of beings on the other side helping the spinning. And then it manifests. It creates the synchronicities. It creates the people. It creates the circumstance. So miracles start to happen. And miracles are where something starts on the other side as a, it's actually is built in the invisible world, and then it comes down as a manifestation, whether it's a healing, whether it's a job, whether it's a spiritual movement, if it's authentic, that's how it's working. And once it's manifesting, everyone, it looks like it, no one understands all the processes it took. And you know, one of the things there's a definite increase in momentum with group energy. And those of you that are on our calls regularly, many of you have had this experience of this increase of your own momentum because of being on the calls, because we create a momentum on the call, all of us on the call. And so we have this thing, which I talk about, but let me explain again why it's so important. Team shift. Team shift is a group of you, of small groups of you, 3, 4, 5, that meet every day. And what you do is you call in the light, and you individually go around and put your intentions in the light. And if it's working correctly, everybody is supporting the energy so that you create the same energy on team shift as we create on this call, but you are more individually recognized. You are sharing with other people. There is not, we can't possibly do that on this call, but you can do it on a team shift call. And, you know, one of the things is when you're sharing, I don't usually use the word sacred, but I understand what sacred means. When we have sharing and communion and connection with the higher sources, and we get that beautiful energy that we feel, it is sacred. It is sacred moments. And just because at the beginning of the calls, we kid around and we're, you know, what's the word? Irreverent. You know, a lot of times people can't be irreverent and then move to the sacred. They can't do it. They find a division in that. It just so happens I have both those sides in me, and so I can move from the irreverent to the sacred, and I see that the irreverent part of everything helps people accept themselves and feel okay, and that I don't have to pretend to be higher than thou, or here we go, we're going to have this sacred moment. Now, I'm not judging that, because that works. And when it creates sacredness, creates an instant increase in connection to the higher realms. It creates a group energy. You're in a group energy. And the group energy helps you access the Elohim in the Ra group, okay? Jesus, when two or more are gathered. And so the more you can move your manifestation desires into a group energy of people that really care and that really support you, and you support them, you become a manifestation team. And for me, you can do it without a group, but ultimately, it's got to turn into a group. Somewhere along the line. But if you understand the principle, then the group energy helps you immensely in the manifestation. It helps you lift above your own negativity, your own self-sabotage, your own feelings of unworthiness. We all have that. We have it. It's okay. You don't have to make that go away. You just have to go above them. And a group energy is the easiest way to do it. And a group energy that includes the connection with the higher positive sources with intentions to increase your ability to manifest, even increase your ability to heal, works. It works, it works, it works. It's like with my sister, we got to get off the line. You know, the Elohim said they couldn't have healed her if I didn't do the cheer-up committee. I created a group energy with my sister. I created her lifting up and telling her jokes, and that created the openness for our sources to come in. So when you are praying, and I don't even like to word the use pray because it's too connected to the church, but when you're trying to affiliate yourself with the higher sources for support, then you don't have to prostrate yourself. And you do have to feel love and gratitude for them. But it's not like they're doing it for you. They're doing it with you. You start the ball rolling, and they'll help you keep it rolling and keep your intent really high, and you can make miraculous transformations in your life. And we got to end this call now. So let me unmute everybody. BBS is, I don't know if they're off the air, but they're about to go off the air.
All callers are unmuted.